Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I'm excited to be with you guys this morning, and I've been praying and just seeking God as to what He would have me to share this morning, and I felt like He wanted me to continue on the same theme that we were talking last week when we talked about praise and worship. But before we get into that, would you grab your Bible, stand to your feet, and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 150. It's the last psalm that is in the book of Psalms, and I want to read it today, and we're going to unpack it a little bit and talk about what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. So Psalm chapter 150, I'm going to read this from the New King James Version of the Bible. This is a psalm of David that he wrote, and he says this: praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament, or the heavens. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has a breath praise the Lord. And then just for a good measure, he says one more time, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we can praise You, that we even are counted worthy to praise such a great God. And I ask that as we look to Your Word today, that You would show us what we need to learn, what we need to have better understanding in, and that You would strengthen our hearts and our minds so that we could give You a more excellent praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Last week, we talked about what praise is, what worship is, and we talked about ways that we can worship and praise God. In fact, can you, Shelley, please put up the slide of what praise is, and we're going to talk about these deeper today. We're going to break down all of these seven Hebrew words for praise: halal, yada, todah, shabak, zamar, barak, and tehillah. And so we hit that just for a moment last week, but we also talked about what worship is. Can you put up I think we have one for worship as well. Worship is shaka, and it means to bow down, to pay homage, to crouch, to fall flat, or to do reverence. And so last week we began to talk a little bit about what it means to praise and what it means to worship the Lord. And I want you to understand that as we talk about praise and worship, what I want to do today is I want to give you the tools that you need to effectively complete the mission that you have at hand. How many of you guys know that when you're trying to do something, if you have a flathead screwdriver with a Phillips screw, it's not going to do you a ton of good? Especially if you have a Phillips head screwdriver with a flatheaded screw, it will do you no good at all, right? In order to accomplish the job that is at hand, you need the proper tools. And when you have the proper tools, you become more effective. And so my goal today is that we would become more efficient praisers and worshipers of God. That as you learn, the more you learn, and listen to this, I read this in my Bible reading this morning and it struck me so deeply. Jesus was telling the disciples and he was explaining to them the parable of the sower. You know that parable, right? Jesus said there was a sower. He went out and he sowed here and he sowed there. And as he sowed, it fell on this kind of ground, that type of ground. And afterwards, his disciples came to him and they said, "Will you explain to us what you actually meant?" And he said, "Yeah, the sower is the seed is the word of God, and he scatters it, and it depends on what kind of heart that the word of God falls upon, what kind of harvest that that seed will produce." Even though the same seed got scattered everywhere, different soils received the word differently, and so they produced a different harvest. But then he says something very interesting. He says, pay close attention to what you hear. Then he says this: the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So here's what I'm saying to you today. The closer you listen to what the Word of God says about praise and worship, and the more you pay close attention to what it said, not because I'm saying it, but because it's the Word of God, the more understanding you will have, the more understanding you will have, the more power you will have, the more power that you have, the more effective that you become. And so we want to become more effective in praise and worship. I'll tell you what, I don't come to church to perform for people. to play the keyboard or to play the guitar and sing so that you can listen to me. I come to praise and worship God. I come to a place that this is a place of participation. It's not a place where you just are just viewing and you're a spectator, but a place where you can participate. But here's the thing that I've understood is most people, the reason they don't participate in worship is because they don't understand worship. The reason they don't praise God is they don't understand how to praise God. Because the more understanding that you have, the more equipped you are. It's like if you walked up to someone and they were playing a card game and you'd never heard of this game, you'd never seen it before, and they said, you want to play? Well, what do you play in? Well, we're playing garbage. There's a card game called garbage. Anybody know how to play garbage? Okay, a few people do. Someone's from up north. And they play this card game called garbage, and you walk up and you're like, well, I don't know how to play it, right? And like, well, we'll teach you. Once you gain understanding to the rules, then you're able to participate in the game. But as long as you don't understand the rules, you can't actually participate. And the reason, if you find yourself coming to worship and you're like, I don't know what to do. Why is it that I don't engage in praise and worship? It's because you need a better understanding of what praise and worship actually is. And that's what I hope to give you today. We talked about last week, praise is a reflection of about who you think God is. It's an indicator. If you think he's great, you'll gladly celebrate his greatness. If you know he's powerful, then you will be unashamedly willing to boast in his strength and not in your own strength. Worship in the Hebrew, we talked about this, it means to lower oneself. It means humility. Do this exercise with me for just a moment. You ready? Everybody take a deep breath in. Now, I can't talk because now let it out. You know what that means? You're a perfect candidate to praise God. What did he say in Psalm 150? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every single person in here can breathe in and can breathe out. If you couldn't, you wouldn't be here anymore. But you can. So that makes you a perfect candidate to praise the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand about praise, first and foremost. Praise is your responsibility as a child of God. No one can praise God for you. You can come, being around the things of God does not substitute for being alone with God or knowing God. Some people, they come to church and they think they're okay with God just because they come to church. And I go to church and they sing for me. I never open my mouth. I never sing to God. But you know what? I'm there. And the people on the stage, they're singing. The person next to me, they're singing. And so because I'm a part of it, that means, no, that doesn't make you be, that's like saying going to the Super Bowl means that you played in the Super Bowl. It's two totally different things, right? And so no one can praise God for you. You have to take responsibility and open your mouth, lift your hands, get on your knees, surrender your heart, and you have to be the one to praise God. Nobody can do it for you. Just being around an atmosphere of praise or an atmosphere of worship doesn't make you a praiser, doesn't make you a worshiper. You have breath, use your breath. I'm not saying you've got to shout at the top of your lungs or you've got to dance across the front. If that's what God calls you to do and you want to show him that you love him that way, be my guest. But I'm not demanding that from you. What I'm saying is this. You need to take personal responsibility as a praiser of the Lord. You know what David said in Psalm chapter 31, verse 1? He said, I will bless the Lord. That word bless is one of the Hebrew words for praise. I will praise the Lord at all times. I'll take personal responsibility. He didn't expect somebody else to do it for him. He said, I'll do it. And you know what else David didn't do? He did not allow his circumstances to dictate what kind of praise God would get from him. Because when David wrote Psalm 31, he was hiding in a cave. Saul was chasing him. He'd been chased off by the Philistines. And he sat in that cave and he said, I will bless the Lord. Because I will not allow my circumstances to dictate whether I praise him or not. Because true praise is not dictated by feelings or suppressed by your circumstances. Bona fide praise is fueled by one thing and one thing only. Do you know what that is? He's worthy. And because he's worthy, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, how I'm feeling right now, but I will bless the Lord at all times because he is worthy to be praised. And because I know he is faithful, I will not allow anything to rob him of the praise that he deserves. So you have to take personal responsibility for your praise. The second thing is you cannot just rely on the fact that you have praised him in the past. He's worthy today. David said in Psalm 59:16, but as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning, I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, for you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I was in distress. David said, each and every single morning, I will open my mouth. I will sing about how unfailing your love is. Why? Because yesterday is gone, and so is everything that I did then. So I'm going to focus on today, and I'm going to give God the glory that he is due today. I'm not just going to be satisfied with, well, I praised him. Yeah. Think about this, tomorrow morning. God's still worthy, just like he was today when we were all gathered here and we were singing about him. And so are we just going to go, well, I went to church yesterday morning and I worshiped God yesterday. No, how about I want to worship God today because he's as worthy right now as he was then. So what I want to do today is I want to break down the seven Hebrew words for praise that we referenced last week so that we can have a deeper understanding and so that you can grow and unlock the power that your praise possesses. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about today is this, the power of your praise. That's why I started with saying nobody can do it for you. I think if I said, do you believe there's power in praise? Every hand would go up. But then if I asked you personally, do you believe there's power in your praise? And I want you to understand, in your life, there is power that God has given to you as a praiser and a worshiper that it becomes a weapon that you can use to unlock things in your life. I want to show you this really quickly in scripture before we break these down. In the life of the Apostle Paul and his traveling companion Silas, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, they traveled to Philippi. They began to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they did it, there was a slave girl that she would tell fortunes for the people that she was owned by. And she began to follow Paul and Silas around and she would mock them and she would ridicule them. And this went on for days and days and days. And finally, the Bible says, I love it because we see the human side of the apostles. Paul, it says, became greatly annoyed. One translation says he became exasperated and he finally turned around and he rebuked that girl and he cast the devil that was in her out of her. And what happened though, is you would be like, wow, that's great. What a great testimony. Paul did such an awesome, powerful thing. You know what happened? The slave owners that owned this girl, because they'd made so much profit from her telling fortunes, they got mad. They caused an uproar in the city and they said, these guys are turning the world upside down. Let's throw them in prison. So they get thrown in prison. And so Paul and Silas sit there in Philippi. They're stuck in prison. They're shackled at their feet. They're shackled at their hands. And the jail door is closed. And the Bible says about midnight, they begin to sing hymns to God. And they begin to praise him. And they begin to pray. And the Bible literally says that the other prisoners were listening to them. Think about this. Some of us won't even sing in church with Christians next to us. They were unashamed to have hardened criminals next to them, hear them sing and praise and worship the Messiah, which was not as widely accepted today or then as he even is today. I understand that people may make fun of your praise, but could you imagine being sitting in prison and singing hymns and other people listening? But you know what happened? There was power in their praise. Because as they began to sing, the Bible says a great earthquake began to erupt. The prison doors flung open. The shackles fell off of their feet. And every prisoner was set free. And so the Philippian jailer, he runs in and he thinks everybody's gone. So he's going to commit suicide because he knows that he's going to be on the chopping block himself because he lost all his prisoners. And Paul cries out, he says, wait, everybody's here. Nobody left. It's okay. And he says to them, sirs, what must I do to have the same kind of power that you do? Now, I know verbatim, he actually said, what must I do to be saved? But what was happening is he recognized there's something in your life that I don't have. There's a power that you possess that I do not yet understand. Can you teach me about it? Can you show me? And so he gets saved. His whole house gets saved. And the governmental authorities, they say, send those guys. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. We can't handle those guys. And Paul says, wait a second. You guys embarrassed us openly and you're going to excuse us privately? I don't think so. Why don't you guys come down here publicly and forgive us and release us the same way that you did when you were trying to put us in prison? So they come and they release him and they go. But what's the moral of the story? The praise was the defining factor for their freedom. There's some things that may be holding on to your life that if you would open your mouth and declare the goodness and the praise of God, things will begin to change in your life. Because you know what? They could shackle their feet and their hands, but they couldn't shackle their praise. And so there may be things that are holding you back, but you have the choice always of whether or not you will bless the Lord at all times. And so what I want to do is I want to look at these words and I want to help you become more effective in praising and worshiping the Lord. Look at these as tools, okay? The greater, so not only, you know, having a tool is great. Knowing how to use a tool is even better, okay? And so I want to teach you so that you, when you go to praise, when you go to worship, whether it's in a congregational setting or whether it's at your home or you're in your car all by yourself, that you have a better understanding of how to give God glory. Okay, so the first one is halal. It means to jump or to dance, to shine, to rave, to praise, to boast. This is the one that makes everybody uncomfortable. To be clamorously foolish. To act madly. And this word, halal, is where we get our English word, hallelujah. And it's the Hebrew word halal. And it's the word that's used in Psalm 150 every time David says, praise the Lord. So when he says, praise the Lord, in fact, I think there's Psalm 150 verse 1. Praise the Lord is halal. Halal in his sanctuary. Halal in his mighty heaven. And so David is saying, I want you to halal. I want you to jump. I want you to dance. We should shine. We should rave. We should praise. We should boast. We should be clamorously foolish before the Lord. He said, let everything that has breath boast in God. Jump before the Lord. Dance before the Lord. You know, David didn't just say this for us to do. He actually did this in his life. Because we read when the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel was being returned back to Israel, which you have to understand, for them the Ark was so important because that was the very place that the presence of God dwelled in the earth. And when the presence of God was coming back, it had been at Obed-Edom's house, and it was coming back into Jerusalem. David danced madly before the Lord, wildly, to the point where his clothes fell off. I mean, this guy was really, really going for it. I could give you an illustration, but none of y'all would come back next week. So David was dancing and dancing madly, so much so that to the point his wife looked out of the window and she saw him dancing. And when he got home, she said, well, aren't you just something, David? Aren't you just something? You danced so madly before the Lord that you uncovered yourself. David said, woman, you have not seen anything yet. He said, I will become even more undignified than what you think about me concerning how I worship and praise the Lord. And so he's saying, I'll be even more clamorously foolish. You think that was foolish? You just wait and you see this. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about God. It's about him receiving the glory that is due to his name. He was rejoicing in the Lord. You know what that means? That means he was unworried about what others might think or say. If there's one thing that I wish that I could help people with when it comes to praise and worship, is stop worrying about what other people think. Because you're not worshiping for them. You may be worshiping with them, but you're not worshiping for them. You're worshiping for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your praise and your worship is a direct indicator of who you think he is. So if you don't give him a great praise, you don't think he's a great God. You can say all you want. Oh, no, I do. I do. I just don't express it that way. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us to express it that way. I'm not saying that you have to every single week make sure that I think I should make a fool of myself every single week. What I'm saying is just the heart is what matters most. And David's heart was this: I don't care what they think. He wasn't trying to make a spectacle, because if you can turn it to the other side and you can become so focused on making a fool of yourself that you actually are beginning to want people to look at you and focus on you, the heart is this: I'm unconcerned with what others think. I just want God to receive the glory. I want to boast in him. I want to honor him. I want to give him a halal. And where did it tell us to halal the Lord first? In his sanctuary. That's why when we come here together on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we take the opportunity every time to sing to the Lord. Why? Because he tells us in his word, halal the Lord in the sanctuary. The next one is yada. Yada means to throw one's hands in the air while making a confession about God. It also has this definition. Yada is the word for throw in Hebrew, or to cast. And so he's literally, you know, when we sing that song, so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Do you know what that is? That is yada. So I yada again and again. I throw up my hands and I confess. I praise God because he's worthy, because he's good. I want to show you this in scripture. It's in Psalm chapter 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will yada him. As I sing, I will throw my hands in the air, and I will make a positive confession concerning him. I will confess he's good, he's great, he's awesome, he's mighty. So I want you to understand this today. Lifting of hands is not a Pentecostal thing. You know, there's the old joke of, you know, this is a Baptist enjoying worship. Right? Or you've got like the different, like this is carrying the TV in worship, right? You know, and then you've got full on touchdown, right? Like there's different types of praise. But the Bible literally tells us that the word for, and here's the thing, when we say praise, we just say praise. But in the Hebrew, there was literally different words because there are different tools that you can use to effectively praise God. And one of them is to put your hands up and declare as you sing. And can you go, there's 114 references to this in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, where it talks about putting your hands in the air, making a confession about God. So when you're in church or you're at home or you're in your car, when you lift your hands, you know what you're doing? You are throwing praise at God. I want you to get this analogy. Have you ever been to a parade? And as they go down, you know, maybe it's fire trucks or it's floats at the Christmas parade and they're throwing candy out and it's just showering people with candy. When we yada, we are throwing praise God's way. We're saying, have it all. Be glorified. Be honored. Not unto me, but unto you, O Lord, be glory and be praise. The next one is todah, and it's actually closely related with yada. It's taken from it. And todah means a confession of thanksgiving, but it also still means an extension of the hand. I want to show you this in Scripture in Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. It says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with todah. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And so the writer is literally saying, when we come into the presence of God, let's come with a confession of thanksgiving on our mouth. Let's think. That's why I said at the end of worship today, I said, let's think about the cross, the fact that Jesus gave himself for us, and let's thank him for it. That is a todah. That as we put up our hands, we're saying, God, I thank you because it's not of me. It's not of my own doing. It's not because of my greatness or because of how awesome I am. It is only because of you, and I thank you. So literally, it means to lift your hands as a means to show gratitude. See, here's the other thing. We don't even understand that the lifting of hands has multiple meanings. They're so deep. It's because praise and worship are all rooted in the heart. I lift my hand one time, it means to throw praises away. I lift my hand another time, it's to say thank you. I lift my hand another time, it's to say I'm yours and only yours. So there's different ways to worship him. And here's what I think about the lifting of hands. I know some people get so embarrassed. They're like, why would I lift my hands in praise and worship? It's a simple gesture that is utilized to show God, I'm thankful. Thank you. Sometimes I like to just, during praise and worship, I'll just close my eyes. I won't say a thing. I'll just throw my hands up because I'm just saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that I get to have joy. Thank you for my children. Thank you for this church. Thank you for life itself. And so I'm giving him a todah. The next one is shabak. Now this one can also make people very uncomfortable because it means a loud or joyous testimony. Some people get uncomfortable when other people shout in church. I don't get uncomfortable when people shout in church. You know why? Because I understand they're shabaking the Lord. They're not shouting at me. They're not shouting for me. They're shouting to and for the Lord. I want to show you this in Scripture too. Because your loving kindness is better than life itself, my lips shall praise you. So this is David writing. He says, because I have had a revelation about you, God, that the way that you love me is better than anything else that I could experience in life, I'm going to shout your praises. I'm not just going to whisper them in my heart. I have to shout. It's like this. When you experience something good, you want to tell other people about it, right? It's like if I experience a great burger, I'm going to tell you about a great burger. If I experience a great golf course, I'm going to tell my golfing buddies, my brothers about this great golf course. And David is saying, because I've experienced that you are so much better than anything else, I'm going to tell other people about it. And I'm going to shout joyously. Have you ever gotten so excited about something that you just let out a shout? Woo! Like you just got so stoked, right? That's what David is saying. He's saying, it's not just natural things that I get excited about. I realize, God, because I have a real understanding of who you are. I'm excited. That's a Shabbat. And let me ask you this. Is God not worthy or great enough to shout about? David said, because of your favor that is better than life itself, I'm going to shout about it. I'm going to shout because he's good. The next one is Zamar. This is one of my favorites because it means to play an instrument. But my favorite part of this is actually in the second definition, to pluck and twang. I didn't know God liked country music until today. And that made me so happy. Because if it ain't country, it ain't good. When it comes, I love, like, the more twang, the better when it comes to music for me. And so I am so excited to realize that God is a country and a bluegrass guy. He likes twang. So some of you guys don't like it. That's okay. He does. And so, but it means to play an instrument, to pluck or twang. Literally what it means is to strike a chord. Okay. Is this still on over here? Did I turn it off? I turned it off. That can be easily remedied. There we go. It literally, this is the definition of Zamar. To strike a chord. Or if I were to pick up that guitar and to strike a chord on that guitar, it literally is an expression of praise to God. He's not just praised by the lifting of hands, by the opening of the mouth, by the bending of the knees, or by the surrender of the heart. Literally, you can praise and worship God through an instrument. I want to show you this in Scripture. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody is the word zamar. Zamar to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Literally, strike a chord on an instrument of 10 strings. Now, Jeff's guitar only has 6 strings, and so, but it will do for now. But sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. And there's, can you go back to the definition, please, Shelley, of Zamar? There's 46 references to Zamar that we praise God by using an instrument to show him glory. So you may ask, why the instrumentation? Why don't we just sing a cappella? Because we are praising God even through the instruments that we play when we do so with a heart. And it's not just somebody playing an instrument, remember? Because all praise and worship is rooted in the heart. Because live music is played over and over every single day, but not all live music brings praise and glory to God. Music is played in church every single week. Not all of it brings glory to God. Because if the heart is, I want them to hear me, then God's not getting praise. If the heart is, I'm giving this as an offering to God, he's glorified through it. So that's Zamar. The next one is Barak. Barak means to bless, to kneel, or to salute. You know what a salute is? A salute is a gesture of honor. If you look up one of the definitions of to salute someone is to that you are showing them a gesture of respect and of honor. And so one of the ways that we praise God is by showing him honor. This is where in Psalm 34 verse 1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my mouth. That word bless is the word Barak. When David wrote that in that cave that I was talking about earlier, when he said, I will Barak the Lord. I will kneel. I will bow. I will humble myself and I will salute the greatness that is in God at all times. What is he saying? He said, I will constantly lower myself, both publicly and privately, to declare that he is both higher and greater than I am or I ever could be. I'm lowering myself. It's like John the Baptist said, speaking of Jesus, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's like I was sharing with you last week. We can't make God any higher or greater than he is. The only thing that we can do is change our perspective. When we go lower, we see him as higher. And that's what David is saying. I will lower myself. I will Barak the Lord. When? At all times. What is David saying? He's saying there is never a moment when I should see myself to be equal with God. higher than God, but I will always take the approach of being humble and being a worshiper, to bow myself before him. Then the last one is this, Tehillah. Tehillah means a spontaneous song, a deep place, and it's actually a form of halal. If you look up this word in the Hebrew, the first one they started with was halal. The word Tehillah literally means a deep halal. So when we talked about halal, to boast, to sing, to be clamorously foolish, to act madly before the Lord, Tehillah is to do all of those things, but go one step further. Have you guys ever had a child like we have that whatever the line is, they're going to take one step across that line? They're like, if this is no-no, then I'm going to do this, right? I'm not just going to, now, there's some children, they just want to get as close as they possibly can to the line, but they're not going to, but then there's some children, they'll look you dead in the eye and just step that foot over that line, right? This is kind of what that means, is that when David said, I will become more undignified, he was saying, you thought my halal was bad, wait till you see my Tehillah. If you didn't like me at halal, Michael, you won't like me at Tehillah, okay? So I'm going to go even one step further, and you thought I was crazy before, I'll be crazy now. I'm going to go even deeper. I'm going to go even farther. And this is actually what David said in the same passage in Psalm 34, verse 1. He said, I will barak the Lord at all times. His Tehillah shall continually be upon my mouth. He uses both of these in that same scripture. Why? Because he meant two different things. I will worship God in a multifaceted way. Yes, I will bow before him and I will bless him. But you know what else I will do? I'll make sure that a spontaneous praise and a deep halal is continually upon my mouth. If you struggle with saying things in a rude manner, or you struggle with profanity, or you struggle with negativity, or you struggle with complaining, I would encourage you to do this. Take this scripture, meditate on it, speak it over your life, and put it into practice. Say, God, I'm going to give you praise all the time. This morning, before we left the house, I was doing my chores. Yes, I have chores at the house. And I was unloading the dishwasher. And as I unload the dishwasher, I just begin to, you may think I'm silly, you may think I'm goofy, I wasn't singing to you, I wasn't singing for you. I just begin to sing things that I believe about God. God, you're good. God, thank you for your mercy. God, I love you. You're so awesome. There's nothing that can, and I just begin to sing it. I just let it come out of my heart. It may not have sounded as good as something that was orchestrated and written that we sang today, but you know what? I was putting a Tehillah on my mouth, and so I was blessing God and honoring God and praising him by giving him a spontaneous and an unrehearsed song. But I want to show you this somewhere else in Scripture. Because this is a verse that we like to use a lot of times in the church, but we don't understand what it actually means, what it actually says, okay? Psalm chapter 22, verse 3. You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. That word praises is the word Tehillah. So he says, you are holy, you are enthroned upon the Tehillah of Israel. What does that mean? Tehillah is a spontaneous song. It's a deep place. It's a deep halal. It is literally an unrehearsed song. And so I want you to think about this. Just like you cannot drive a flathead, or let's say a starhead bit, gentlemen, I'm going to talk to you for a second, then I'll talk to the ladies. You cannot drive a starhead bit with a Phillips head. You can try, but all you'll do is strip it out. Right? The way to actually get that star head bit is to have the right bit, and you can drive that screw in, and then it becomes effective. Sometimes we say, God's enthroned him on the praises, but we don't define what kind of praise we're actually giving him. I'm not saying God would reject praise, but I'm saying, wouldn't you want to be the most efficient that you could possibly be? It'd be like this, ladies. It'd be like trying to measure 1/4 of a cup with a cup. You can eyeball it. You might can get it, but it's not going to be exactly perfect the way that it should be if you were actually measuring with a quarter cup measuring cup, right? And this is what I want you to see. The way God says in his word that he is enthroned is through Tehillah, is through a deep halal and singing a spontaneous, unrehearsed song. There may be times in praise and worship when we say, just sing to the Lord a new song on your heart. And you're like, that's weird, but it's in the Bible. We claim to believe the Bible. And then we go, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. Why would I sing a new song to the Lord? Because the Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song, all the earth. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We're like, that's weird. I'm not doing it. Right? I mean, that's embarrassing. I want to remind you of something I said last week. God getting what God wants is what makes him Lord in your life. And so if I refuse to give God what he longs for, I'm refusing to make him the king that sits on the throne. So when I refuse to tehillah the Lord, he's not enthroned in my heart. I can call him the king of my heart all I want, but he's enthroned when I tehillah him. When I sing, listen, if all it is a whisper, if that's all you can get out, get it out. Praise him. Because you know, why is this so important? Because God loves you individually. He wants a relationship with you individually. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you. And he wants to have that deep relationship with you. But just like with a husband and with a wife, it takes a two-way relationship. It can't just be one talking all the time. It's got to be both having that. And so often, we are so selfish when it comes to praise. We don't want to, I just feel so uncomfortable. Listen, the first time I told Madison I loved her, it felt a little uncomfortable too. Because I wasn't sure. Actually, I knew she'd say I love you too. So it wasn't that uncomfortable. But it was still a little uncomfortable. But I didn't have that like, I don't know, does she love me? Does she love me not? I knew I had her. A long time ago, it just took, I'm just kidding with you, but I'm not really. It's kind of a joke that's not really a joke that I felt like I needed to say it was a joke so that you guys didn't think I was, you know, being a certain kind of way, but it was a joke, but not really. So is everyone confused now? Okay, good. No, but the first time you tell someone you love them, it's a little uncomfortable, right? But now I can look at Madison in front of a room full of people and say, babe, I love you. And why? Because I've told her over and over and over and over. It's not foreign anymore to say I love you because I've done it. The first time that you tell God you love him or that you give him a tehillah, yeah, you may feel a little weird. But the more you do it, the more you grow in relationship with him and it becomes a part of who you are. Not just something that you do. Becomes something that's a part of who you are. And so I want to encourage you to just, you may say, well, I don't even know how to start with a tehillah. How do I start an unrehearsed song? I'm not a singer. Just say what's on your heart. Write it down. If you feel uncomfortable saying it, just start with writing it down. This may seem weird. It may seem uncomfortable, but I remind you, this is what God wants. Just say, okay, God, the Bible says you're holy, so I'm going to start there. You're holy. You're good. You provide for my family. You keep us safe. You're worthy of praise. You are excellent at what you do. There is nothing that you cannot do. And before you know it, things will just begin to roll off and you'll realize because you begin to declare, when you begin to declare who God is, it begins to build your faith up and strengthen you. And all of a sudden you'll realize he's enthroned upon my heart. And with him as the king of my heart, I'm more confident than I used to be. I don't battle fear the way that I used to. Fear still comes, but I'm not overtaken by it the way that I used to be. Insecurity comes. Doubt comes, temptation comes. But you know what? I understand that my praise is a weapon. And as I praise him, it keeps him enthroned. And when he's king, nothing can knock him off of that throne because I've enthroned him with a tehillah praise. And so I want to encourage you to use all of these methods. Put them in. I'm trying to put all of these into practice every single day that I would halal the Lord. I would yadah. I would todah. I would shabak, zamar, barak, tehillah the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy. And I want to be like David where he said, I will bless the Lord. I will barak the Lord at all times. His tehillah shall continually be upon my mouth. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. As I said, these are tools that you can and you should be using to give God glory. And so I hope that you took some notes today. If not, next week, I'm going to have a printout for you guys of all these words and their meaning. And so I need Madison, Pastor Bonnie, and Pastor Jeff, somebody to remind me to do that, because next week I want to have these printed out, because I want you to be able to actually put these things into practice. I don't want it just to be like, oh, that's good information. I want to end by reminding you what Jesus said. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. So don't just listen today. Pay close attention. And be like James said, don't be just a hearer of the word. Because so often we hear this and we're like, wow, that's so great. That's so cool. The power of your praise comes when you activate your praise, not when you just get knowledge about praise. It's like the difference in having a firearm and using a firearm for defense. It's like, if someone breaks into your house, you don't go, watch out, I've got a gun in here. You just let the gun do the talking, right? And you don't have to explain to them what you have. In the same way, it's not just about what you know, it's about what you do. So let's put these things into practice and praise the Lord. Can you close your eyes and lift your hands this morning? As an act of yada and toda, Lord, we lift our hands to you. And we say we want to have a deeper understanding of how to give you the praise, because God, we truly believe that you are great, that you are awesome. And so we throw praise your way today, God. We open our mouth, and maybe if you feel comfortable, maybe you just need to whisper. Maybe you can say it out loud. Maybe you can shout it, but you just say, just tell them what's on your heart. Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for loving me. God, I declare you are great and greatly to be praised. You have shown yourself to be mighty in my life, and we give you a halal this morning, and we say, we boast in you, God. You are great. You are mighty. There is nothing impossible for you. And I thank you that there's power in our praise. And God, I pray for your people today that they would unlock the praise that you have given to us to be able to declare who you are, and that we would see that praise be put to work in our life, and prison doors would be open, shackles would break off of feet, God, and that we would be unashamed of who you are inside of us. God, we lift you up. We barak you. We say, God, we don't deserve you, but we are so thankful that you allow us to be your children. God, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we are so joyful that you have allowed us to be your children and be in your kingdom. We praise you, God. Everything that we do in our life, let it be for you. Let it be from you, through you, and back unto you. God, we declare you are great and you are awesome. And Father, we can't even come up with enough words to describe really how great we think that you are. It will never measure the worth that you possess, but God, we'll still try, because we don't want the rocks to cry out. So we declare Yada, Toda, Barak, Zamar, Shabak, Halal, Tehillah. God, it all belongs to you. It's not about us. It's not for us. Help us to have that mentality like David had, that we'll become even more undignified. We'll clamor and become even more foolish and madly in love with you, because you deserve all of our praise, God. You have done it. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you praise and worship the Lord in a way that he gets the highest form of glory that he could ever get. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, if you're a member of the Excel class, our last class will be tonight at 5 p.m. as we close out How to Study the Word. We hope to see you there. We love you guys. Have a blessed week.